I invite you to open your Bibles today in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, bring always your Bible. I'm going to set up this fence. This is a series of the next five Sundays we're talking about fences. And I really hope you remember. Sometimes we need to have a picture or an image of something in our lives. If I put it here, it's going to feel weird, I think, preaching. But this, everybody can see the fence, yeah. The title of the message, the first one of five sermons called, God is a Fence Destroyer. God is a Fence Destroyer. And if you want to go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, would you stand with me today one more time, please? Allow me to bother you one more time. You probably lose 3 or 4 calories. That's another French fry you can eat for lunch. The Bible says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new life, giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest, which is Jesus, who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, authentic hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. It's talking about water baptism and the pure life that we have to live with him. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Can you read that last part with me? For God can be trusted to keep his promise. One more time. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let's pray. Father God, I ask you that not just today, but this whole five Sundays of this series of fences, you would do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. Show us still the fences in our hearts, in our minds, in our relationship with you and with people. God, you came to destroy the fence that separates us, from you, sin. And you came to come all the way into the backyard of our lives, our hearts. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you help me to preach, and that your Spirit will speak things I don't say. Lord, that you would just start a new work today in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry, it took me a second there to get it. A lot of times we hear in church talk about fences, and I will say this, two things. I'm not talking about the fence that you have in your backyard, in your house, in your property. I'm not talking about that. Because we all like a beautiful fence and a nice gate somewhere, amen. I love fences. I love it. There is a reason. There is a spiritual reason. And I'm not talking about fences that you and I need in our lives against sin, to protect our lives from sin. I grew up very old-fashioned. My father was a preacher also, and he taught me very well about fences in ministry. Fences when you're talking with ladies. Then I found out that it wasn't just ladies, but anybody who is attracted to your gender becomes a tool. It can become a tool in the hands of Satan to try to bring sin into your life. It's PG-13, 12 and under are up there, amen. I can tell you, I've been in ministry for a long time. I've seen all kinds of stuff. You got to be careful. Let me allow to break a fence in my heart with you right now, to say that I was more invited into the world of homosexuality than by the girls into a relationship. I don't know if I'm that ugly or what is my problem. But I'm not talking about the fences against sin in our lives. I'm talking about a fence that God has destroyed already at the cross. And it doesn't get any more clear than here. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can how? Boldly. I don't know how you are with people, but with God, you don't have to be careful in your relationship with God. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we carry the same principles that we have with relationships with people into the relationship with God, and that is a huge mistake. The Bible says that we can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. And when you talk about fences, there is all kinds of fences. There is short fences. There is transparent fences. There is big fences that we cannot even cross unless God crushes those fences in our lives. This is one of them, sin. And we're going to be talking about fences we have with God and fences we have with people, because Jesus said that all the law and all the prophets are resuming those two things. What? Have no fences with God. Love God with how much? With all your heart, with no fences. With all your mind, with all your soul, all of it. We have fences. Pastor Kyle was talking in our giving. We have fences in our worship. We have fences in our prayer life. We have fences in our time in the Word of God. And God says here we can enter boldly because He destroyed already the fences. Fences have two purposes and two purposes only. What are they? To keep something what? In. And also keep something what? Out. You put a fence around a dog because you don't want him to go out. You put a fence in your backyard because you don't want something to come in. Amen? But how many of us build huge fences in our front yard? Not very many of us. In the front yard, we have maybe a little bit, 2, 3, 4 feet of separation if we have something. Where do we build the biggest fences? In the backyard. And some of us have invited Jesus into our front yard. Some of us are very careful with people, and we just let them go to the front yard because they came before. They stay at your house for 6 hours. They try to sell you a vacuum machine. You didn't want it, and you don't want to invite them into the house anymore. But if we're going to love God and love people, we need to let God and people that God wants to use us to minister all the way into our backyard. Now, how do you keep your front yard most of the time? Pretty clean, pretty nice. You sweep the front, the welcome mat. We don't go into the house with a front door. We go into the garage all the time. And Hans asked me a couple days ago, Dad, can I have one of those little things that you have in your car and Mama has in the car? You push the button and just the door opens, you know. So yes, if you have, I don't know, $30 or $40, we can go to Home Depot and buy one of those things and program. So it's going to cost you money, luxury. But we keep our front yard sometimes from God and people very nice and neat. How many of you guys, when you invite somebody in your house, you take them to all the corners and all the bedrooms and all the bathrooms and all the closets? Sometimes they just stay in the living room. Where do we keep the dog's messes, the weeds, the junk, and all the ugly stuff? Where is that? In the backyard. And that's where we build fences. But God is a fence destroyer. And when Jesus died on the cross, my friends, the curtain in between the holy of the holiest places, who was measuring 4 inches of material, the moment he died, the Bible says, a tear from the top all the way to the bottom. Because God said, I am sick and tired of the fences the religion has built in between me and you. I'm sick and tired of what culture has done. I'm sick and tired of what sin has done in between me and you. So how we keep that backyard? Who do you invite? The closest people in your life. We invite them to the backyard. Amen. You know when you know somebody a little closer, when they walk you through the house, they show you the house, and then if they have a nice backyard, what do they say? Come to the backyard. But if they have an ugly backyard, what do they say? Isn't it nice in here? What do you want to drink? What do you want to eat? And if you don't know them, what do you do? Some people, even we go door to door sometimes, they put signs on the door. What do they say? No solicitors. Some are so protected. One of these days we're going to see one is going to say no mother-in-law allowed in this place or no family members. Who is God talking here through Paul? Not to the Romans. It's very important you understand. This is not Ephesians. This is not Colossians. This is not Romans. This is not 1st or 2nd Corinthians. What is the book that he's talking here? It's the book of who? The Hebrews. That's the church in Jerusalem full of Jewish people. And here God is speaking to people who has built so many fences in church. If you wanted to go close to God's presence, which was in the tabernacle, if you were a Gentile, which is not a full-blooded Hebrew, you had to stay far, far away from it. That was the court of the Gentiles. And then there was a huge curtain or a fence there. You couldn't pass that. God is talking to people, and that's why I really hope the Holy Spirit can dig in areas of our lives about a relationship with God and people. Because in our culture, we have built so many fences. I was talking to a young person this week whose heart was a little hurting because this young person took the same sweater to school for 5 days and heard somebody say, are you homeless? And I was trying to explain to this young person the value of this world. It's in things who really have no value. Are you here with me today? So now we have to go and buy 5 sweaters. What if they make fun of my nose? Might have to go and get a surgery now then. You see where the world has built fences? And this is what I love this church, and I hope we never have fences here. I hope of racism. I'm not a racist, but this group of people, when you say that but, you know, you are. I'm not sexist, bad woman and bad man. And when we start categorizing everybody, and the rich and the poor and the Democrats and the Republicans and the people of color and the yellow and the white and the Hispanics and the moms who are single and the divorced people and the kids who come and don't have a mom and dad at home. And we have, and I'm telling you, you have to be so careful. Because we categorize so much. And I say this, and allow me my French, I think God wants to throw up sometimes. If you were not full-blooded Jew, Hebrew, man or female, you have to stay very far away from the presence of God.
Then there was a curtain. If you were a full-blooded woman, then you can enter a little farther, a little more inside. And that was called the court of the woman. If you were a man, fully blooded Jew, Hebrew, but you had not done all the body purification and cleanliness to come to the present, closer presence of God, you can pass the Gentile's court, you can pass the woman's court, and then you can be, but then there was another curtain. And then if you were fully blooded Hebrew, and you have done all the purifications and cleaning of your body according to the law of Moses, then you can pass the men who were not clean completely and go a little closer. But you can only pass that if you are not from the tribe of Levi. Tribe of Levi can go a little closer. But you were not close to the temple yet unless you were from the tribe of Levi and from the descendants of Aaron, the brother of Moses, of that lineage. Then you can become a priest and then you can go to the holy place. How many of these things? How many fences? Are we talking 5, 6 already? And then you had to be the highest priest to go on Yom Kippur, which was about 10 days from now, the Day of Atonement, where they brought the sin to the higher priest, and he can go one a year into the Holy of Holiness. And let me just say to you today, the moment Jesus died, he destroyed all the fences. He destroyed the toughest one, which was the 4-inch one, and I think it was like 30 feet tall. The moment he died, God makes this thing tear apart. And he says, if you purify, if you man, if you woman, you Gentile, you're the right or the wrong family, you're the wrong this or the wrong thou, or the right this or the right that, everybody is invited to my presence. Everybody is invited into my presence. Aren't you glad Jesus came and died on the cross? Yes. I don't know if it gets you mad, if it sounds sexist or it becomes racist or whatever, all the things that I just explained to you. But let me tell you, you and I are no different than anybody else who wants to come super, super, super close to God. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 19, before, and so dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter. We can boldly. Jesus already. Destroy the fence. He destroyed the fence, but we have to walk over it. Because they still had to walk into the most holy of the holies. That's a decision you make. The fence is down, but every day we decide if we're going to come with a sincere heart into his presence. The first thing you need to do is surrender your life to Jesus. By his death, verse 20, Jesus opened a new life, giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. The way is Jesus, but I and you need to enter. It is crazy when we look at what Jesus did. And that's why, my friends, everybody is as close as God as they want to be every day of their lives. There is no pastor, there is no wife, there is no husband, there is no sin in your life, there is no mistake in your life, there is nothing that you can do that God says, let me pick up the fence again, and you're going to have to look at me in between the boards.
That's what the enemy wants you and I to do. Just get a little close from his presence. A little close to his word. A little maybe close into worship. A little bit close into his presence. And God says, why are you not walking over the fence and coming really, really close? Close to me. Close to me. The second thing we need to do is accept the forgiveness. Verse 21. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, who is this high priest? Who is the high priest? Jesus. Listen. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, I have to ask you this question today. Who rules in your backyard? Who rules in your backyard? Is it God? Or is it God in some areas of your backyard? But there are other areas of your backyard where you like, let me build a fence here in this corner, Jesus. I hope you can understand today the forgiveness of God. When he comes into your life, he wants to take over every part of it. He wants to rule over what your idea is about what you did in the past. I did some things. Let me talk to you a little bit about this. I did some things in my life. They were so horrible, especially before I surrendered my life to Jesus. But I even did some things after. And some of that I did, I was already in ministry. And the devil will come once in a while and say, you're going to see what I'm going to do to your kids because of what you did 20, 15, or 30 years ago. And let me tell you, like Pastor Luis was saying last Sunday, I was tortured by that lady who told him, you're going to marry me. God told me, you're going to be my husband. He said, is this God or not? And I was like, is this God or not? But the Bible says that he will bless 1,000 generations after the righteous man. Not because he's perfect, but because he has the righteousness of the blood of Jesus who came and washed away all our sins. You remember the story I told you quite a while ago about little Johnny who went to spend a couple of weeks with grandpa and grandma at their farm. And he was trying to get good at his, what is it, slingshot with a rock? What is it? No. With a rubber, you have like a thing like that. You put a, is it a slingshot? Yeah. And he was practicing. And one morning, he's out there practicing with his slingshot. And the rock goes where? Kills grandma's only duck, hit in the head. But Johnny wasn't alone. Susie was there, his sister. And she said, I know what you did. Johnny runs and hides the dead duck under the pile of grandpa's firewood pile. And she says, I'm not going to tell grandma, but you're going to have to pay for me not telling grandma. So the next morning, grandma and grandpa wake up and say, who wants to go with me fishing? Grandpa said, Johnny, you want to go fishing with me? And Susie opens her mouth and quick says, Johnny told me that he wanted to stay with grandma here today. Can you tell me fishing? Take me in. So grandpa takes. Dinner comes. And Johnny, you want to do the dishes. And what did you, Susie says? Johnny said he wanted to do dishes all day long. And she looks at Johnny, and Johnny knows what's going on. I know what you did. And you hide the dead duck. So he's doing dishes. By the third day, Johnny cannot take it anymore. And he runs and hugs grandma and grandpa and said, I killed your duck. That's why I'm doing all the chores. I'm not having fun. And I'm just working all day long here for the last 3 days. And grandma looks at Johnny. I love the story. And grandma says, I saw the moment you threw that rock. I saw that you killed the duck. I watched you through the window. You hiding the duck under the fire wood. I was just waiting for how long you were going to be a slave of Susie. Listen, my friends. For how long are you going to be a slave of Satan? God cannot control that. He wants to use you. He has washed you away. The Bible says that we can come to him with what? Verse 24, our guilty conscience has been what? Sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Why is this important? Because they knew they were Hebrews. When they would bring the animal for the sin, the priest would cut it and throw some of the animal's blood on the forehead of the Hebrew man. And that was a representation of being washed away his sin. But he says here, for our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. The Bible says in verse 22, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. I don't know how can I make this as big as it is. But if you have ever experienced the presence of God in your life, there is nothing else like that. There is nothing you can do today that is going to be more powerful, more beautiful, more transforming, more amazing than the presence of God. Do you feel God's presence right now in this place? You're going to go. We're all going to go. We're all going to eat. We're all going to go maybe watch TV, football. I don't know what you're going to do. And I know that God's presence is everywhere. But I'm talking about a place that we really go to be alone with him. The high priest will go alone and be there with God. There is nothing, nothing, nothing. We spend so much time, so much energy, so much effort. In the middle of the night when you wake up, in the morning when you wake up, in the evening when you have time off, in whatever time you make for God, I want to tell you today, try to get into his presence. You've been washed away. You surrender your life to Jesus. Our bodies have been washed away. Get right into his presence. Let us go right into the presence of God. With what? With sincere hearts, fully trusting in him. When was the last time that you walked into the presence of God with a heart that was so sincere? I love sincere people. Are you like that? I love honest people. I love them. I love when my kids come in, even if there's something that it wasn't good what they did. But isn't the most beautiful thing as a parent when our kids come and they open their heart so sincere? I love when people in the church, I love when people, and it's so hard for us sometimes to go and be sincere and truly honest with people. But with God, we need to go to his prayer and say, God, this is how I feel. Why did I feel like that? This is messing me up. Why, God? This is what is hurting me.
This is what is bothering me. This is what, spend time in His presence. I read the other day and I loved it so much. You want to hear God's voice? Read the Bible. You want to hear God's voice in an audible way? Read the Bible aloud. It sounds funny, but it's the truth. You want to go to a service of healing, of cleaning, of revelation, of transformation, of liberation? Go to a Bible study. The Word of God is right there. If you know how to read, He will speak to you. If you don't know how to read, borrow somebody's smartphone and listen to the Word. I don't know. So easy nowadays. Would you close your eyes right there where you are this morning? The Bible says that we can go into His presence. I know you're going to go home today. And He says, I destroyed the fence already, Christian. I'm just right there waiting on the other side. And the world calls us to all these things. And tomorrow you're going to wake up. Maybe you're not going to have time. But if you make time, because when you enjoy something, when you really want something, you always make time for it. When someone is really important, you always have time for that person. But if you don't make that appointment with God, you're going to be disappointed with Him every single day. It's not the pastor, it's not your spouse, it's nobody else, it's not your job, it's not your kids, it's not your family, it's not your gender, it's not whatever it is. He said, I destroyed all the fences and I'm waiting for you right here. Come to me with a sincere heart, as much as you can. You're looking for a friend. You're looking for love. You're looking for Jesus. That's the truth. Because when you marry, you don't know who you're going to marry. Really, you don't know. But when you come to Jesus, there is not a chance of being disappointed. And if you're here this morning, and you want to be closer to God every day, talk to Him. I have done this prayer so many times. Say, God, I want to get closer to you. God, help me. He has to wake me up sometimes in weird hours, because sometimes I don't make all the time and the discipline to spend all the time I need with Him in the day. So He has to wake me up in weird hours in the night and say, okay, what are you going to do now? You're going to go work. You're going to clean something. You're going to go prepare a sermon. You're going to go visit someone. No, you cannot do none of that stuff. He wants to spend more time with us than we want with Him. So much. Boldly, sincere hearts, open hearts, and come and say, God, this is who I am. I have tried everything else and I walk away disappointed every single time. And if you don't need Jesus in your heart, I want to guide you this morning. And I'm going to encourage everybody to help us. Would you just say, Father God, I need you in my backyard. I need you, God, where the pain is, where the frustration is, where the dirty laundry is, where the secrets are. Lord, I need you to come and start picking up the rotten boards, the hide my heart from things that
that I don't even see they are there. Come into my life, Jesus. I don't want you inside of the living room. I want you all the way in the backyard. I want to start a relationship with you that I could never have with a person. So close, so intimate, so powerful, so transforming. Come into my backyard, Jesus. I open every area of my life to you. Lord, help me to enter into your presence every single day. Help me to sacrifice something that maybe feeds my flesh, but I'm still so hungry from you. God, please help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Father, I thank you for this moment. Lord, I ask you that people would not be able to walk out of this place, go through this week without your Holy Spirit knocking on that door of this sermon, of this word, of this scripture. Fences are down. Fences are down. Fences are down. Fences are down. It's everything or nothing.